Joshua chapter 23, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God shall expel them from before you and drive them out from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day." Our Heavenly Father, as we bow, Lord, this morning, again thankful for the opportunity and privilege to be here in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is able to be here this morning. We pray, God, for those who are sick, could not be here today. Lord, those who are traveling, we ask, God, for mercy as they travel, Lord, to keep them safe. And, Lord, others, Lord, whatever the need may be, we ask you, God, to bless and minister in their lives. But Lord, today we come to you and ask you, Lord, for this service at this very moment, that, God, our hearts would be open. And Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord, in this building and those by way of radio. And God, how we just need a fresh touch from heaven, the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God to fill us this day, Lord, with thy spirit, that, Lord, your word would be magnified, and Lord, that your word would accomplish that whereunto you have sent it this morning. Father, have your way. And Lord, all that's done, we'll give you praise and honor and glory for it all, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to notice the verses that I've read here today, and I want to preach by the help of God on this thought, keeping God's work alive. Keeping God's work alive. Now, verse 1 of our text tells the story. Joshua is old and is preparing to die. Verse number 14, but before he leaves, he has something to tell them about serving the Lord. Now to do this, he calls two meetings. The first in chapter 23 is held with the elders and the leaders of the people. The second is recorded in chapter 24 with the people of Israel. Now as Joshua's ministry winds down, he wants to encourage Israel to stay the course for God. In these two chapters, there's some valuable lessons for us as well. We live in a day when many people have forgotten about the glory and the power of God. And those who have known about such things are become fewer by the day. Amen. Beloved, this morning we need to remember the power and the glory of God. Our children need to be exposed to the power and the glory of the Lord. Amen. These verses tell us what we need to know this morning about keeping God's work alive. Now, beloved, if we don't keep the work of God alive, some of you in this building today, you have seen the power of God. You have seen the glory of the Lord in the midst of his people. But if you don't keep it alive, the next generation coming will know nothing about what you have experienced in your life. And you know as well as I do that the services are fewer and fewer where you see the old-time power and the glory and the manifesting of God's power in our midst. Amen. Now, beloved, there's a cause for that. And may I say that it is not the cause of God, but I'm afraid it's because of the condition of our hearts that has kept God from displaying His glory in our midst. Amen. And so there's some things that we need to see in these chapters. First of all, I want you to notice Joshua's concern. Chapter 23 and verses 1 through 8, how we read together. Now, there are three things that Joshua fears as he's preparing to leave this world. First of all, he fears complacency. Look at verse number 6. He says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from them to the right hand or to the left." Now, he fears complacency. Now, the sin of complacency is one of the most common sins there is among the people of God. We have allowed our churches, beloved, to adopt the Laodicean attitude. Amen. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, we are given the description of the Laodicean church. And Jesus said, when he looked at this church, he said, "I would that thou wert cold or hot." But he said, "Because thou art neither cold nor hot," he said, "but you are lukewarm," he said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." Matter of fact, I believe it was John R. Rice who wrote a little booklet, and he used that verse, and he preached the message on the people that make God sick. Now listen to me this morning. Beloved, God is not interested in us being lukewarm, being complacent. Amen. He wants us to be on fire for Him. Amen. He wants us to be close to Him and serving Him and not lukewarm. Many, my friend, here at Victory and other churches have been bitten by the complacency bug. Amen. There are people who no longer strive to serve the Lord. Listen to me. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to do some striving to get it done. Amen. All of the service of God is not going to always be the easiest thing for you to do. Matter of fact, sometimes it may be the most difficult thing that you've got to do. It may cost you a little effort on your part to serve God. Say amen right there. It may cost you a little of your time to serve God. You can say amen right there if you want to. But my friend, complacency is plaguing our churches. Amen. No longer do people strive to serve the Lord. No longer do they strive to win the lost to Christ. No longer do they strive to live holy, consecrated lives unto the glory of God. But instead, we become self-satisfied. And that is a dangerous place for God's people to live in this morning. Amen. I mean, he feared complacency. Secondly, he fears compromise. Look at verse number 7. "That you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them." He feared compromise. He fears that they will compromise their standards and bow down to idols. Amen. And what he was afraid of that would happen, may I say, it did happen. Amen. It did happen. Now, beloved, we look at the Israelites and we think, how could they be so dumb after all that they've seen God do in their lives, bow down to idols? Well, hold on a minute. We're about as dumb as they are. Hey man, we're about as dumb as they are. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Because many people worship the gods of self, success, materialism, their career. I mean, listen, we do things that we know are wrong, and then we try to justify ourselves. All the while, we smile and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But listen to me, it says it's got a hollow ring to it, amen. How we need to avoid the trap of compromise, praise God. Listen, beloved, some of us today are doing things that we would have never dreamed about doing a few years ago. There are things going on in our lives that, beloved, we would never have ever thought about doing back then. But you know what we've done? We've compromised. Amen. And so, beloved, he feared complacency. He fears compromise, and then he fears commitment. Verse number 8, he said, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. The lack of commitment, their commitment will become slack, and they will not cleave to the Lord as they should. Now listen. The Lord's idea of commitment. You say, what would the Lord say about my commitment? Well, he makes it known to us over in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Listen, beloved, he's to be number one in your life. I know you're to love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. But your wife shouldn't be number one. Jesus should be number one. Then wives, your husband shouldn't be number one. Christ should be number one. Your children shouldn't be number one. Hey, Jesus should be number one. Everything should not have the place of the preeminence of Christ in your life today. Amen. Oh, there was the fear, my friend, of a lack of commitment. Joshua had these fears. There were concerns in his heart as he knew that his days were numbered and he wouldn't be around much longer. But not only notice Joshua's concern, but notice secondly, Joshua's challenge. Now Joshua's challenge, he challenges the elders and the people to observe certain truths concerning God. His challenge is for them to look at what the Lord has done and is doing in their lives. Now, first of all, he told them to consider God's wrath. Now, beloved, look at chapter 23 and verse number 9. He says, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves down to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. He told them to consider the wrath of God. Amen. Now the primary idea that Joshua is trying to convey is this: if you will serve the Lord, he will bless you. If you disobey God, he will chastise you. Amen. Now, beloved, if you don't believe in chastening, go to Hebrews chapter 12 and read that a little while and study it out, and you will see that God chastens his people because of their disobedience to him. Amen. Now, we know that's not a popular message in our day, because everybody in our day wants to live like they want to live, and they want to do like they want to do, and still know that God loves them and God's going to just keep pouring out his blessings. Well, let me say this morning, God's going to bless us to a certain extent regardless of what we do, but there are other things that God will not do if you're disobedient to him. And therefore Joshua was trying to show the people, if you don't do right by God, God's going to bring judgment on you. Amen. Now, I know that's not popular, but it's Bible. And we've got to believe the word of God. Amen. The challenge still applies to us today. That admonition is very simple. You play, you pay. Amen. You play, you pay. The choice is entirely yours to make. Somebody said, I can live like I want to. Yes, you can. You can live exactly like you want to, but you're going to pay a high price for it. Amen? Now, the choice is yours. The choice you make will be determined by your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We can say what we want to, but our life proves the level of our love for him. Your life, every day you live, shows your level of love for Jesus. Amen? I'm going to start coming down there, sitting down, hollering amen myself in a minute. But your life, my life, shows and proves the level of our love for him. Amen. Everything we do proves our level of our love toward him. Amen. Now, listen, Joshua is challenging the people. He said, you need to look at the wrath of God. Secondly, consider the work of God. Then over in chapter 24, verse 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in this wilderness a long season. Now look at it. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even to the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build,
and ye dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, not do ye eat. Amen. Listen, I want to say this morning, he said, you look at the work of God. If they'll just stop and remember his goodness, they will be more likely to serve him faithfully. Amen. Now, beloved, the works of the Lord on our behalf are a great motivator for our service. Now, beloved, God's been good to me. That helps me. That motivates me to serve him. Amen. That's what Joshua's saying. You just look what God's done. Look at how God took care of you. Look how that he went down into Egypt, but yet God sent Moses. God brought him out, and he covered the Egyptians with the Red Sea. He's given you cities that you didn't build. He said, you're eating from olive yards and vineyards that you didn't plant. He said, you're inhabiting land that was not your own. But he said, God gave you everything you've got. Look at the goodness of God. Amen. Oh, consider God's work. Then also consider God's will. Verse number 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which are your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. The Lord's will for them was to clean up their lives and to serve him faithfully. And Joshua makes the statement that he and his family will do just the same. Joshua's attitude, he tells them what they should do, be doing, and then regardless of what they do, he told them what he and his family were going to do. They were going to serve God, amen? God's will for you and I is to serve him. It's God's will. You say, I don't know what God's will is. God's will is for you and I to serve him with all of our heart. That's what God's will is, amen? But then notice God's witness. Look at verse number 19. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive you your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Listen, beloved, can I say to all of us this morning, we cannot serve God on the one hand and serve false gods on the other hand. Amen. His reminder is that judgment will accompany such action. Now, also, we need to understand God's watching us every day. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so this morning we need to serve God. His challenge to the people was, look around you. Look what God's done for you. Look how God's blessed you. I mean, listen, you ought to serve him for his goodness and all he's done, and he done it for you. Amen. Look at what he's done for you this morning. Look at how good God's been to you. Look at how good he's been in saving you and keeping you out of hell. How he's blessed you, how he's taken care of you, how good he's been. Hallelujah. It ought to be a cause to stand up and say, I will serve God. Amen. Joshua's challenge. But then let me close with this. Joshua's covenant. Notice what happens. Verse 25. Bible said, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, and every man to his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground from which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. Notice the covenant. It involved, first of all, a great stone. The Bible says there that they took this great stone, and Joshua wrote all these words in the book of the law. Then he took a great stone, and they set it up under an oak tree. And that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said, this stone is going to be a witness unto us. This stone has heard every word that we have spoken. This stone, it's going to be a witness unto you. You say, preacher, what in the world's a stone going to do? Well, I remember reading where Jesus said, if these do not praise me, the rock shall cry out. Say amen right there. And they knew that this rock was going to be a witness unto them because of all they said and the covenant that they made with Joshua. Look, it involved a great stone. But notice, it also involved some gravestones. This book closes with the mention of three funerals. First of all, we see the funeral of Joshua. Verse 29, Joshua died. Notice how it describes him, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't that be a great way to be remembered? The servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old, and they buried him. The gravestone that they erected there over Joshua spoke of the faithfulness of God. It spoke of Joshua himself, and it spoke about the faithfulness that God had been to his people, amen. Not only that, but then there was another gravestone, and here's a man that had died many, many years prior to this, the man named Joseph. Remember, Joseph died when they were in Egypt. But he made them promise, when you get to that land where you're going, when you get up ready to leave this place, you get me up, bless God. Don't you leave me here in Egypt. And so when they got ready to leave, they dug him up, bless God, and carried the bones of Joseph. Can you imagine what that may have looked like? Everywhere they went, they had Joseph with them. Amen. But, oh, Joseph, you. He knew the faithfulness of God. He knew that God was one day going to fulfill what he had promised to Abraham. Amen. And he said, when you come up out of here, you take me with you, thank God. So now they finally got to where God wants them to go. And the Bible said that the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem. Amen. This speaks of fulfillment. That God fulfilled exactly what he had promised to his children. And then there was the third one, and that was Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. This speaks of the gravestone of finality. The death of Eliezer marks the changing of the guard. Now listen to this, it's very important. The death of Eliezer marks the changing of the guard in Israel. Now it's time for a new generation to pick up the mantle of service and do something for the Lord. Beloved, it's a shame when old soldiers of Jesus pass from the scene. But it's even a greater shame when Those who are left behind do not lift up the mantle to carry on the work of God that was being done by those old soldiers. Amen. So the modern church also has forsaken the path that has been laid down before us. Beloved, it don't take long for you to look around and realize the church has gone away, far away from where it started out from. Beloved, you know what we've done? When those old soldiers of the cross, those old soldiers that stood by the stove and preached the truth, when they passed off the scene, there was nobody there to get the mantle and to carry on the work of God. Hey, it's a pivotal moment in the life of a church, my friend. And we need this generation to teach the next generation to pick up where we leave off when we're gone, thank God. If we don't teach them, it'll fall by the wayside. If we don't teach them how to pray, if we don't teach them how to worship, if we don't teach them to stick by the stuff, there'll come a day when the church won't be what it used to be. It'll go away to nothing, my friend. Amen. Oh, listen, we need those, thank God, like Elisha, that fought at Elijah. Everybody said, do you know that the man of God is going to leave? Yeah, I know it. And Elijah had told Elijah. Elijah asked, what do you want, son? Elisha said, I want a double portion of what you got. Amen. He said, I want a double portion of what you got. And he said, that you've asked a hard thing. Now listen to me. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I go up, he said, it'll be yours. Bless God, you know what Elisha done? Elisha stayed right with Elijah. No matter where he went, bless God, he went with him. No matter where he was at, you could see Elijah right there with him. You know why? He wanted more, amen. He wanted the touch of God in his life. Hey, what's it gonna take for us to say, God, I want your power. I want you to move in my life. I wanna make a difference for my church, my family, my community. It's gonna take you sticking by the staff. That's what it's gonna take, amen. And old Elisha just stood right with Elijah, no matter where they went. No matter how hard and difficult the trail, the journey was, old Elisha was right there with him. And finally, one day, the angel of the Lord came down, listen, in a chariot of fire, amen, in a whirlwind, and took Elijah out of this world to heaven. Elijah, as Elijah went out, his mantle fell. And Elisha picked up the mantle. You know what Elijah done? You see, there not far before this happened, Elijah had took his mantle. They got down there to that river. And he said, smote the river. And the river parted. And they went over on dry ground. After Elijah went to heaven and the mantle fell, Elisha went back to the same river. And he said, and the river departed. Hey, listen, I'm telling you this morning, he had the touch of God on him, amen. Matter of fact, he said, I want a double portion. And the Bible records that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Amen, listen to me. Elisha said, you did it for Elijah. God, do it for me. Do it for me, amen. I'm asking a question today. Where are our Elijahs? Where are those who will stand up and be counted for Jesus? Where are those who are tired of business as usual? Amen. Tired of the same old, same old. I mean, we want the touch of God. We want God's spirit. We want God's power flowing and moving in our midst. Hey, if you do, you got to be like Elijah. Amen. Where are those who are willing to pay the price of personal sacrifice and holiness that they might be bright torches in the hand of God? Hey, this morning, the God of Elijah is not dead. The God of Moses and of Joshua is not dead, amen. He is alive and well. He's just looking for some folks that will say, I want it, Lord. God, use me. Lord, hear my, send me. It's me, Lord. I want your touch in my life. And that's what God's looking for. God is still willing to use anyone. Are you listening to me? He's still willing to use anyone. Amen. Who will make himself or herself available to him. The question is this morning, is that person you? Is that person you? Hey, Victory Baptist Church, I thank God for it. I praise God for the church. But friend, I'm going to tell you something this morning. It could be better. It could be better, but I'm going to tell you how it's going to get better. It's going to take all of us stepping up. Amen? Stepping up to the plate. Stepping up and saying, God, here am I. God, here, I'm here, Lord. I want to serve you. It's me, Lord. I want to do it. I'm willing whatever the cost. Whatever it costs me, Lord. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about you. Every time you talk about cost, the first thing people think of is money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you. And there's a lot of things that'll cost you besides money. It'll cost you. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. We need to be like this one fella I heard about years ago. He said they was giving an offering. And finally he got the offering plate and set it down the floor and just stepped in it. And so, Lord, here am I. I'll give you everything I am. I wonder if we could just do that. Say, God, I'm here. Oh, Lord, I want it. Amen. Hey, wouldn't you like to have a double portion of what Elijah had? Wouldn't you like to have the touch of God? Wouldn't you love to see God moving? Wouldn't you love to see people saved? Wouldn't you love to see people, God's people rejoicing and shouting praises unto his name? Oh, dear friend, if we would step up to the plate, get rid of complacency, get rid of compromise, get rid of all those things in our life, thank God and give our all to him, we can see a change made. Keeping the church alive, keeping the work of God alive. You and I are going to be the ones responsible for that. Amen? And I want to be a part of it. How about you, Father? Thank you today, God, for your blessings. And Lord, this morning, we're thankful for your great power and your great glory. Lord, there's been numerous times over the years that we have seen the great glory of God in our midst. And Lord, we long for those days where, Lord, you are preeminent in our services. To where, Lord, each one of us have enthroned Christ as head of our lives. Not just in word, but, Lord, truly in heart, that Jesus would be first. Father, I pray today you'd speak to every heart in this building. Lord, there may be someone here today who's not saved. And Lord, they may need to just start with Christ today, afresh and anew into the family of God. And so our prayer and our desire that they would come and give their heart to Jesus. I ask, dear God in heaven today, whatever the needs may be on the hearts of your people, please have your will and way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. While we're standing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.